The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Well, Japan says China has reportedly fired missiles over Taiwan during military drills after Nancy Pelosi left the territory. Joining us to discuss is Isabel Reynolds, Bloomberg Asia government reporter. And we've heard, Isabel, from the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida saying that China's missile launches were a major issue for Japan's national security. What does it mean more broadly for China-Japan relations?
Right. Well, I think we're in danger of relations between the two countries going back to the kind of nadir that we saw about 10 years ago when there was a dispute, or a particularly heated phase of the dispute, over islands in the East China Sea, which are uninhabited, which are very close to Taiwan, in fact. We saw yesterday China called off this face-to-face meeting, which would have been the first since 2020, between the two foreign ministers in Cambodia. And the reason they gave for that was that Japan had joined in with a G7 statement expressing concern about China's military drills around Taiwan this week. But now that we've had, for the first time, Chinese ballistic missiles landing in what Japan sees as its exclusive economic zone, close to Taiwan, but part of Japan's zone, I think that sort of takes things to a new level, that there will be increased tensions between the two, certainly for some time to come.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's talk as well about Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida meeting with Nancy Pelosi. As we mentioned, he strongly condemned those missile launches by China. But how was the, I guess, meeting between those two in terms of the Japan-US front?
Right. Yes. Well, I was there for the opening of the meeting. Everything looked very cordial indeed. Kishida invited her and her entourage to his official residence in Tokyo, and they had breakfast together. So that's a stark contrast with the reaction we saw in South Korea yesterday, where the president avoided meeting Pelosi. So I think it seems as though they're sending very different signals about how they see this visit by the House Speaker. Especially Japan has long expressed very strong support for Taiwan, and sees it as very closely linked to its own security and its own economic health. So this is an issue that's very close to Japan's heart, I guess, and they are very willing to back up the U.S. position on this.
Yeah, and of course, on the South Korean side, what we heard was that the president was on vacation. In terms of the move, though, from Japan and over Pelosi's trip, we've been looking as well to the actual benefit that Taiwan could have received from this trip. When you look back over what we've seen over the course of the week, what do you see as potential, you know, I guess, benefits from Nancy Pelosi's coming to this region?
Right. Well, what it seems to have done, according to some sort of military analysts I've spoken to, is laid out a pattern for what could happen if China eventually did decide to invade Taiwan. So, in terms of military strategy, I guess that gives people a look at what exactly might happen. But that works both ways. I mean, we also saw that the U.S. Was bringing its ships into the area. So from the Chinese side, they can also see how the U.S. might react in that case. I think it's brought more attention, certainly, to the fragile position that Taiwan's in. But whether it's actually helping beyond bringing that kind of intelligence, I'm not really sure.
We're looking as well as to whether or not the U.S. is going to do anything to help Taiwan overcome, I guess, some of these economic coercion measures from China. What sort of further pressures could we see in terms of the economic impact that China could impose on a number of countries in the region?
Right. Yes, that's not my particular subject of expertise. But, I mean, I think that one of the points is that Japan certainly... For Japan, it's an issue that China is still its biggest trading partner, and it doesn't really want to lose that relationship, even as it expresses a strong support for the U.S. Side in these types of disputes. So I think Japan is still willing to keep the door open, perhaps for talks on its side, and we'll have to see how that develops. There hasn't been any threat from China against, you know, in economic terms against Japan, but obviously it's the biggest trading partner for a huge number of countries in the region and around the world. So if it wants to cut something off, that's something that many countries would be afraid of.
Yeah, all right, Isabel, we thank you. As always, Isabel Reynolds is Bloomberg Asia government reporter with us in Tokyo.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.